Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Whether it's relationships, work, or just with friends, there are plenty of things that I've done that I'll suddenly think about and feel ashamed of. But surely I'm not the only one who has this happen. So I'm going to be talking to a whole bunch of people and asking them about what they're ashamed of and how they think that's influenced the person they are today. This episode's guest is iconic Australian musician Pete Murray, who's released multiple popular albums and, as he does take a point of telling me, is also a very successful father.
You know, I think when you do something like that, if you don't learn your lesson, then things are going to go wrong, you know, and you go back and you start doing it again. I remember this kind of, every time I thought about it, I was very embarrassed. And every time I saw the lady that caught me, I was embarrassed. That was my shame, but that was pretty difficult. You know, I remember going to school the next day and everyone was talking about it, and I felt really embarrassed about it, really, really ashamed that I had done that.
You're listening to Shame Feeder.
Hello and welcome to Shame Feeder, the podcast where we ask, is there any connection between success or what we're happy with and things we've done that we might be ashamed of? Very excited to have the guest for this episode. He's a musician, entertainer, an all-round nice guy. It's Pete Murray. So first, you know, we might have some people listening overseas. I don't know how this will go. But for those who aren't aware of who you are, how would you describe yourself?
Well, I think personally, I'm kind of laid back. Person, very easygoing, very friendly. I grew up in the country, in a place called Chinchilla. So I think you're having that country upbringing, you tend to be very respectful and friendly. You always say hi to people. I remember when I first moved to the city, I was walking past people and I'd be saying, "Hey, morning, how you going?" You know, everyone would look at you and go, as if to say, like, "I don't know you. Why are you saying hello to me?" So, took a bit to get used to that. But yeah, I think that's, you know, who I am really is all those things I just mentioned.
I love that down the street attitude. I grew up in Port Macquarie and, you know, when I moved to the city, it was strange. Like, people just wouldn't greet you anymore.
Yeah.
So of everything you've done, you know, you've got multiple albums, you've been touring for years. What would you say you're most proud of?
That's an easy question to answer. That's becoming a dad. I keep saying to people, it's the best thing you'll ever do. Doesn't matter what else you achieve in your life, just becoming a parent and being a good parent, I think, is really the best thing you can do in life, because you realize then, you know, your life, it's not just all about you. You got other responsibilities, and what you want to do then, or most good parents, they want to help their children to be, you know, happy and to, you know, do things they want to do in life.
I think parents are always going to have a different answer to everyone else, but career-wise, is there anything you'd say you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, well, look, I before I got into music, because I was 22 when I first picked up a guitar and music, which is super late. But before that, I was into sport. You know, I was doing swimming, athletics, and football. So they were my passions in life, you know, all those events that I used to do. And I'm very proud of what I've achieved on and off the sporting field. You know, athletics was a big one for me. I think I really did quite well. I ran at national titles quite a few times and state titles. And, you know, there's lots of records that I left and, you know, that I think they might have all been gone now. But they stuck around for a long time. So I think when you have doing a race, I used to do the fours and the eights. And having a record, and swimming also in my hometown, Chinchilla, I had a record that was only beaten like a couple of years ago by one of my friend's kids, which was fantastic, yeah.
Were they told, you beat Pete Murray's record?
They knew about it, and they knew that this record had been around for a long time, so his boy was going after it, and he got it. So I thought it was fantastic, but that had been around since I was, I think it must have been 12 or something like that, so yeah, years. So when you have that, I think it's a nice little thing that you hold a record and... So for me, yeah, having those achievements on sporting field, I was proud of those things in, you know, swimming, athletics and footy. You know, for career, I've I studied natural medicine. So I thought, once I finish my sporting career, I'll start to work with other athletes. That's what I wanted to do. But then I picked up a guitar and things all changed. So for me, that was kind of my career, where I was going. And once I picked up music, it wasn't about a career. It was about just, I guess, finding... I travelled, I backpacked for a while after I hurt my knee playing rugby. And then I was more about kind of just trying to find something that I could travel around the world with and earn some money from. And I didn't know what that was. But as it turned out, that became music. And years later, that's what I discovered it was. So here I am today, you know, I've travelled the world and played music and it's paid my way.
Okay, so was having family, like having kids, was that always part of the plan?
Yeah, always wanted to have kids.
Yeah.
Well, there's only myself and my sister in our family as a kid, so that was always too small. And, you know, and I definitely wanted to have children. Yeah, that was always on the agenda for me. It's like you're not complete until you have children. I don't know if you've heard people say that, but you know, when you have a child, you then feel like you're complete.
Yeah.
You've actually done what you're supposed to do. That's really what I feel like with the main thing that we're all put here for, is to, you know, make babies and keep life going.
So with career, was that always something to make the family kids part the best it could be? Or what was the plan?
Of course. Well, you know, my dad died at the age of 47 and I was 18. When he died. So I kind of got a good lesson from that one. And I, you know, he'd worked at his own business for a long time. He's a watchmaker jeweler. He had that for his whole life. Sold the business. Him and mum had bought a caravan. They were about to travel around Australia. And then they were going to move from Chinchilla, small country town, to the Sunshine Coast, which was, you know, like pretty exciting for them. So dad sold the business and then worked for the guy that bought the business off him for the next 12 months. Then finally, semi-retired, and they were about to go on their trip. 2 weeks later, had a heart attack and died. So it was a lesson for me to go, well, you know what, life's unpredictable. I don't want to end up like that. I don't want to work on my life in a, not that he liked that job, but he wanted to get out.
Yeah.
And I don't want to work all my life doing something I'm not really that happy with, and then you die, you know. So for me, it was like, I want to do something that makes me happy. It's all about lifestyle. Music was about lifestyle then too. Sport was lifestyle. I've never been wanting to be super wealthy or anything like that. I mean, that would be nice and super handy, of course, but it's never been about that for me. It's been about just, you know, having that lifestyle that you can be happy with.
Yeah, okay. Would you have been as happy, and I don't know if this is the sort of person you are that you'd even consider it, but would you have been as happy doing medicine or sports as a career, do you think?
No. No, I feel, you know, I believe in fate, and there was a friend of mine who was studying and we were living together, and he just came into my room one day and said, you know what, I'm going to go get a guitar lesson. I've always wanted to do it. And I thought, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I went and had a couple lessons and he never did. So he got me started. But a couple of years later, he had an aneurysm and died.
Jesus.
So his name was Charlie, and I named my first boy Charlie after him.
Wow.
He was the reason why I started to do music. So once I got into music, I just found this passion, which I just loved, and I'd never had that before. So that was just, you know, I found it. And that was the thing I wanted to do.
So I've had a couple of radio interviews with you, and I've been thinking this for a bit. You do seem like one of the most got it together guys in music. Like, you seem happy with where you're at.
Yeah, well, I think having that sporting background too, you know, you have this determination to be successful.
Mm.
And without that, I probably might not be as successful as what I am, but you know, there's a drive there, you know, and definitely on, you know, when I was competing against other athletes and footballers and swimmers, you have that desire to beat them.
Mm.
You know, you have that desire to be as good as you could possibly be. With music, it's difficult. It's hard to compete against people because it's not a competition, but you have that competition against yourself.
Yeah.
Can I better myself? You know, what can I do to make this better? And so I'm always doing that. It's competing against myself all the time.
Mm.
So, which is good, but having that determination definitely makes you, you know, or has put me where I am today.
Yeah. Now, the latest achievements, I'm sure you can knock down to the fact that you've, one, been managing to tour for so long, but two, you've got the new album out, Camacho.
Camacho, yeah.
Which sounds amazing. Mm. But you were saying as well earlier, and we've touched on this, you've been getting a lot of feedback. What have people been saying?
Well, you know, it's funny right now because the album's only been out for a couple of months now.
Mm.
But the feedback from people, fans that are saying, look, I never thought that I would like another album more than Feeler,
yeah,
which is the first one.
Yeah.
Big.
Oh yeah.
And they're saying this one now is I prefer this to Feeler. I'm enjoying it more. You know, so that's pretty amazing feedback. When that album was pretty huge. And this is a kind of a word. I've always thought this album is going to be a word of mouth album. People are going to talk about it and tell their friends, and it's just slowly going to spread. So the feedback is still, you know, I can't put this album down. I can't stop playing it. I love it from start to finish. It's super positive. So, you know, it's, I mean, that's, you don't get anything more positive than that.
No, you really don't. So it sounds like, and I knew this was going to be the case going in, there's a lot of stuff going on in your life you're very happy with. It sounds like that's going to continue to be the case.
Yeah, well, I'd like to. Yeah, that's the plan. You know, keep that going.
But I'd love to touch on shame and how, and if there's anything that you've done. Do you think that might be the case?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we'll do that next.
Yep.
Keep up to date on the latest episodes by subscribing to Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and all other apps.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I've already touched on the wins you had in sport, in music, and the biggest one, of course, family and kids. Let's maybe take a look at the other side of things. And I have no idea where this is going to go. I never do when it comes to entertainers, because I think you have to sort of put a lot of that stuff behind you to get forward. That's my guess anyway. But what do you have? Is there anything you've done that you're ashamed of or were once ashamed of?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that stands out to me, I mean, look, like I said, growing up in the country town, I had great parents. Mum and dad were really great. They taught me respect and just how to treat people and, you know, be happy and be a normal person. But as kids, you know, you're always going to make mistakes and you've got to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
And I remember I was about 12 and probably around that time I was hanging out with a few mates. We used to go to the local little corner shop and there was lollies and stuff, and we used to kind of steal some lollies and do that, and you know, it was kind of, look, it was kind of acceptable. You thought you could do it, and then it kind of, things got a little bit bigger and bigger, and it was just, anyway, it got to this one day we went in there and there's just a lot of the kids were there, and I went in and there was do you remember Footrod Flats?
Yes, I loved. I had collections of Footrod and Garfield that I'd alternate between, just reading over and over.
Well, look, I never got into it, but there was a Footrod Flats comic book there.
Yeah,
and I was kind of looking at it, and the kids was going, yeah, look, take it, and I was like, okay, and I got it, and I walked out the shop, and I got out there, and I thought to myself, what did I get this for? I don't want this. So I went back in, and I put it on the shelf again. And then just the peer group pressure of kids going, what are you doing? Take it. What? You know, it was just that instant. I grabbed it and I ran. So the lady in the shop just went, okay, excuse me, Mr. Murray. Stop. She knew me. And I was like, oh my goodness, she even knows my name. She knew my parents. And I was standing there. I was so embarrassed. And she said, I will take that back. Thank you. And she said, can you go inside? Thanks. And we had to call up my dad and have a chat to him. And I was so embarrassed about what had happened, you know. And it was that, still that thing that it's still, I find it hard to, I mean, you know, it's kid stuff. But the fact is I, you know, shoplifted and I got caught. And I was like, wow, it's really embarrassing. And I think it was good for that to happen because, like I said, we've taken lollies. Mm. And then the lollies kind of came, little chocolate bars. Things got bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm glad it only got to as far as, you know, a comic book.
Otherwise, what we would have seen, Pete Murray's crime spree.
Professional thief, who knows, you know, breaking into banks and whatever, jewelry shops, I don't know. But it stopped at a comic book. So That was my shame, but that was pretty difficult. You know, I remember going to school the next day and everyone was talking about it, and it was I felt really embarrassed about it. Really, really ashamed that I had done that, because of my upbringing was really good, and it was I was taught that you can't do that. You know, and it was a good lesson for me.
Yeah. So after that happened, like, did you said a lot of people talking about it? Did you talk to anyone about it?
I remember just talking to my parents about it, you know, and to other friends too, because I said, look, you know, that's I don't ever want to do that again. The feeling of that happening was pretty intense, and it was pretty upsetting. So, and I did, and I was pretty open about it, and I basically said, yeah, look, it was silly. Actually, I had the thing out in the first place. The only thing that made me feel good about it is I had it out in the first place, and I took it back.
Mm.
And then it was just that instant where I went, quickly, get it, there's pressure on, and I just ran, so, you know. But, you know, like I said, I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. I guess you'd learn a lot about yourself from it. Did you? So, obviously, because you did it partly because there was a lot of peer pressure.
Mm.
What, with those kids, did you sort of tell them no more peer pressure on that sort of stuff? Or
no, it just wasn't even an option for me after that. You know, I think when you do something like that, if you don't learn your lesson, then things are going to go wrong, you know, and you go back and you start doing it again, which happens.
Mm.
But I learned my lesson on that one. Like I said, it wasn't such a big deal, but for me it was. You know, at the time, anyone go, oh, it was just a comic.
Mm.
But it was the act
of
doing that, you know, and being deceitful and taking it, and even before that, the lollies and those different things. It was kind of, it all added up to me. I was like, you know what, I felt really bad about it. So, you know, most of my life since that, I've been honest, and I don't, you know,
straighty 180.
Yeah, and I would be very understanding too. I've got two boys, so if they ever do that, you know, I think I've even told them about it too.
Okay.
So that they can even learn maybe before that happens, you know, that it was a really embarrassing time, and that's what happened to me. And especially when you're that age, it was just a really, you know, I was crying, and it was just a horrible feeling.
Wow. So you mentioned as well that it's something you still, you know, you think about and you're not proud of necessarily. But I'm assuming, like, that feeling has lessened a little bit over time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, look, I think that's because, you know, you talk about that.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like I said, I talk about it with my boys so that they can learn from that too.
Yeah. But how long was it a strong sense of shame for, do you reckon?
It was a few years, hey. I remember just kind of every time I thought about it, I was very embarrassed. Mm. And every time I saw the lady that caught me, I was embarrassed.
Oh.
Because, you know, Chinchilla wasn't a big town, so I would see her. And I still remember even, I think the last time I saw her was probably 20. I think I must have had left Chinchilla. I was living in Brisbane, and I went home and I saw her, and I still had that same feeling. It was like, oh, how are you going? You know, good to see you. I just felt like this little shoplifter.
Yeah.
She was totally, she probably didn't think about it, but it was just, that was still there, you know?
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. Did you go back to the shop much? I'm assuming it's a small town, you'd have to.
I think I probably would have, but not very much.
A lot less?
Yeah, way less, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think I was going to find out Pete Murray was a
little shoplifter.
A little shoplifter.
That's right. I know.
Okay. Well,
you better be careful because Current Affair might get wind of this, and it's going to be all over the news.
Off this dinky little podcast.
I know, it's terrible. Look at it.
Recorded on audio quality a little green room.
Some people are probably sitting home going, that is so lame, you stole a comic.
Wow. Well, I mean, we can be glad we're not them.
Yes, exactly.
Well, okay then. I want to next touch on, I've sort of told you this is how we do it, whether you think there's any connection between that and everything else I've already been talking about, because you've already said you feel like everything's connected these days anyway, and everything influences everyone. Do you still think that's the case with this?
I think it's honesty.
Okay.
Yeah, well, being honest with everything you do, yeah.
For extra content, check out the Sam Blacker page on Facebook.
Okay, so dirty little shop thief, Pete Murray. how has that affected you? How has that influenced? Let's go from the beginning then. Early on, how did that start influencing you?
Well, I wanted to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that again because, like I said, you know, there'd been times where I've taken other things, and you seem to think it's okay. It's the moment you get caught that you go, wow, that's actually not okay.
Yeah.
You know, where before that, it's kind of, it's okay, I did this, it's not that much, you know, I can get away with that. A few lollies here and there, a couple of little toys and stuff.
Mm.
and you think it's okay. But then with the moment you get caught, it's like, okay, well, that's, yeah, I'm really embarrassed about that. And you that's when you realize that you've done the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I wanted to be honest from there. You know, I didn't want to be, because that just that feeling probably really hit me quite a bit. Like I said, I had great parents. They'd always done the right thing by me, and I felt like I'd done the wrong thing by them. So it was a shame of that. My sister also was there that day. I came home, and it was just this, wow, I feel like the bad kid.
Yeah.
You know? So it was heavy for me, and I took that on probably way harder than what I should have. But I think it was good, because I like to be honest now, and to you know, and respect other people's property. You know, like I don't like thieves. You know, there's nothing worse when you know, if your house been broken into, which mine has before, stuff's gone. Like, how upset does it make you? You know, it's really, it's kind of, it's a very selfish thing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there was a lot of things I had to look back at that, and you know, at that time, and I'll work out what I'd been like and what I didn't want to be like. So, it was good for me.
Yeah. So then career-wise, do you reckon there's been any instances where you've been tested, to be honest, then? And maybe that, because that happened, you've been more inclined to go to the path of honesty, do you think?
I feel sometimes I'm too honest. I think I might have to go back and get some, you know, some notes from when I was 12 and just change it a bit to fit into the music industry.
Hop down to the shop and steal a few things. Get yourself dirty just get back again.
So it's one of those things that, you know, I definitely feel like I'm pretty honest with what I do. And I don't think that, you know, like I said, it was a small thing. It was a long time ago. So
yeah.
And nothing else I can really think of that I've been really ashamed of, you know.
Yeah.
So,
oh, look, it doesn't have to be lots of things. But yeah. I'm also curious, and this is me just taking a stab in the dark, and I could be completely off base here. When you made the change from careers, medicine to music, was everyone just pretty accepting of that?
Look, it was difficult, you know, at first. My family, I think, were kind of nervous about what I was doing, getting into music, and you know, it wasn't a real job. You know? So my mum was like, you know, you need to get a real job. What are you doing? This is kind of pretty scary. My sister was, even though she backed me and gave me some money to get me started, even I think, you know, her and her husband were getting a bit nervous about that too, with what I was doing and, you know, with my life, and could see that it was a very stressful time. So, you know, it was hard, very, very difficult. And I think for me at that stage was my late 20s, and most of my mates were doing, had good jobs then and were starting to have families, and I just couldn't even afford to buy myself lunch. So, but I kept at it, you know, kept being persistent, which you have to do in music. You've got to be persistent to
Make
it happen.
So when you first made that move, though, were you just straight up honest with the family? Did you say, hey, I'm giving up medicine?
It didn't happen like that. No, I had done the studies in natural medicine. I'd injured my knee playing rugby. That's when I decided to just go overseas. Stop doing everything, go overseas for a while and go and work out what I wanted to do. So, and that's when I picked up a guitar around the same time. Went overseas. When I came back, I was loving music, and I didn't want to finish off the studies, so I kept playing music, and I was just, I got a couple of gigs, which was bringing in some cash for me. And I, I was just doing that, some cash, doing some gigs. That kept me going, and I kind of started to get into songwriting,
because
that's where, you know, I guess the real future of music was for me, songwriting, and not just doing covers. So that took it took a few years to really do that. So I'd sort of played a couple of years worth of covers, which was giving me some good money. I was living off that. So no one was really too stressed about that. It's only when I actually made the move to get away from the covers and do the original stuff. That's when I think, you know, they've just cut off all the money. And you're doing like little bits of gigs, you know, because no one really wants to, not many people want to see.
Songs they haven't heard.
Yeah, you know, majority of people. So it takes a long time for you to build up that following and get people to listen to your music. So that's when I think the family and friends started to get a bit concerned, and you know, like, but they're also giving me a lot of confidence, saying, look, you know, I wouldn't have the balls to do that what you're doing, because it's pretty ballsy.
You put
everything on the line, and you know, you hope that it might go well, but it's a pretty risky business, that one.
What I'm hearing out of this, though, is, and I want to do one last check on this, when you came back and you went, okay, I'm not going to finish studies, were you just straight up honest with that? Were you just said, hey, mum, dad, not
going to do, you know what, it came back to that moment when dad died, and I went, you know, that's not going to make me happy. I always thought that I'd have my own clinic, and I'll be, but the problem was, I would be going back to the same place every day and working with people's problems. And I didn't want to do that. So when music happened, I was like, I think this, you know, I worked it out. This is going to be the job that I can, I just love it. And this is what I want to do. So the decision for a lifestyle decision was made. So there was no looking back. This is what I want to do. This is, well, I've just got to make this happen. How do I make it happen? That was the next step for me.
Well, it sounds like, and feel free to correct me on this, it sounds like though through the whole process of getting there, you were really honest, not just with yourself, but with everyone else about each decision you were making as you were working through it. And because, maybe partly because that you were honest, they were so supportive as well?
I think so, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, I think that the best thing, you kind of feel better when you're honest with everyone anyway, you know, like it's just better. Even when you're upset with someone, tell them how you feel. You feel better, otherwise you bottle all this stuff up for too long, you know, so it's difficult. But yeah, having the honesty is, you know, a good thing, I think. Just also, people that work with me know that I'm honest as well. In the industry, of you know, I've got a good reputation, so there's more work there, and people want to work with you. It's easy to find musicians, it's easy to, you know, do gigs for other people. It's just, it's easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that from trying to line this up through the publicist, who was all too excited by the idea of it. She's like, he's great. He'll be awesome. You just seem to win a lot of friends on all sides of things.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no reason why not to, you know. I mean, that's just being positive, being honest, all those things are really important, I think, you know. And who wants to be around someone who's negative and dishonest?
Very true.
Bit of a drag, isn't it? You know, like, so, you know, you want to be you want to be happy and doing what you're doing and trying to even inspire other people.
Yeah.
So that's a really important thing for me. I think just getting other people to do what they want to do in life, because you see it so many times that people aren't happy with what they're doing, and so many people are doing jobs they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to be doing, or people they don't want to be with. Just, you know, time to move on. Be honest. Honesty is the biggest, it's the best thing. It's really good.
I love that philosophy. I love the idea that at least part of that whole thing that influences you might come from the fact that you
nicked a foot drop
flask.
Dirty little thief.
But,
well, it, you know, definitely that was a really big moment for me. And it was definitely, I remember saying to myself, I do not want to do that again.
Yeah.
Never want to do that. The feeling was horrible.
Well, I'm glad you didn't and you got into music, because I love your music.
Yeah,
so
great. Thank you.
Thanks so much for doing this, man. It's been really interesting to sort of see how Shane might have motivated you, and hopefully it continues in some element in the backstage to maybe keep more great things coming for you.
Well, let's hope. Yeah.
Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Shane Feeder. Keep up to date by subscribing or liking the Sam Blacker page on Facebook.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.